Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Tamar Yonah Show here at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. As this show is airing live at the moment, it is Sunday, June 13th, and at this time, as I am speaking right now, the country of Israel is peering very heavily, is watching a vote taking place to see if we are going to have a new government. And we will give you updates as we get them on the show. But this is a very, very important day in Israel as a vote is taking place at this moment right now in Jerusalem, in the Knesset, Israel's parliament, with its 120 Knesset members. Who will be the next prime minister of Israel? Which bloc will rule? It can go the way of, as expected, by the way, by the media is all saying, that Naftali Bennett and Yair Lapid, who made the Shinui bloc, which means change, this is a left-wing government headed by a supposedly right-wing person who is going to take the first 2 years in a rotational prime ministership. Each government is supposed to be 4 years long. However, many times we go to new elections before the 4 years are up because a coalition can fall apart. One party in that coalition might be unhappy and they could dissolve everything. And that's what's been happening these last few years, or several years, I should say. And so what is it going to be? Is Naftali Bennett from the Yamina, the right-wing party, Yamina means right in Hebrew, is he going to be the next prime minister of Israel, or is something weird and strange, which happens sometimes, going to happen, some type of surprise where they will not get the 61 votes at least that they need in order to rule? We're going to find out probably within this hour, and I'm going to be talking about all of this and keeping you up to date with all the headlines that I get. I'm going to read you some of the headlines today as well and try to explain things to you and how things are working and what it means if we do get a left-wing government here in Israel. We're going to be right back. Don't go anywhere.
How did a nice Jewish girl from Delaware end up living in Israel? Shalom, I'm Natalie Sapinski. Join me on my show, Returning Home. Meet different people who have moved to Israel. Hear their personal stories, their highs, their lows, and everything in between. Each week, we talk to experts on immigration and the process of moving to Israel. Listen to Returning Home every Thursday, only on Israel News Talk Radio.
Well, the vote that is taking place right now in the Knesset, if you're listening to the show live, which is Sunday, June 13th at just after 4 p.m., a bit after 4 p.m., they are supposed to be having the vote. Right now, at this moment, Naftali Bennett, the head of the Yamina Party and the possible next prime minister of Israel, is giving a speech, or maybe I should say trying to give a speech, because he's being heckled by many Knesset members in the Knesset. He could barely get a word in. He is standing there smiling, trying to remain cool as he's being heckled, as he's being forced to, his speech is being interrupted, and he's smiling, saying, I'm so glad that we live in a democracy where people can express their opinions, etc. This is what's going on right now. So I'm wondering, will we have the information of who will be the next prime minister by the end of the show, because if this heckling keeps going on and he can't get his speech in, and Prime Minister Netanyahu, he's still the prime minister as of this moment, at least as of Sunday afternoon, he's going to be giving a speech as well. And the vote has to take place. You have to go through 120 Knesset members. So where this is, if I'm going to have results for you during the show, I do not yet know. But we will know soon enough. And if you're listening to the show in a replay, for sure you will know already what the results are. Some of the latest headlines here in Israel on Sunday morning is a new era after 12 years. Netanyahu to be replaced as prime minister today. That's what they are saying. They're taking it as if it's a done deal, and it very well indeed may be. I want to share with you something very interesting that happened on this morning's news as they were interviewing someone on Channel 12 News here in Israel. And they were saying that what has happened with Naftali Bennett, the head of the Yamina party, taking the premiership for the next 2 years in a rotational four-year government, where the next 2 years after he finishes the first 2 years, Yair Lapid would come in as the prime minister. She says, this was said by Sivan Rachav Meir, if you know who she is. She was stating that in her opinion, that this has set a precedent now. Why? Because any minority party that is now going to be completing the completion of a coalition, they will demand also to, they will demand to be the prime minister in a rotational government. No more will it be that the largest party who is able to make the coalition, as it has been for all this time, and let me give the example of Netanyahu, he would be the prime minister, and all the other parties that joined his coalition would get ministerial seats. He'll give out the finance ministry, the foreign ministry, the defense ministry, et cetera, et cetera. And that would be, you know, their payoffs, basically, for joining the government. And that's how it would be. But now that we are seeing these rotational governments, in the next election, the next minority party would want to perhaps demand to be a prime minister in a rotational government. Because when you look at what's happening, Naftali Bennett has only around 7 seats out of 120. And people here in Israel are scratching their heads. How can it be? How can it be that someone with only 7 seats is becoming the prime minister or can become the prime minister of Israel? It just doesn't make sense. Even Yair Lapid, who got perhaps an average of 3 times the amount of seats that Naftali Bennett has, Naftali Bennett's going to be the prime minister perhaps. So this is very, very interesting. She is saying that it is going to totally set a precedent, and it's going to mess things up, and we're going to see terrible injustice taking place in a democracy. Basically, that's what she's saying. Another thing interesting that happened today, this was at the Knesset when they were interviewing some of the Knesset members. Former minister, or I should say, Minister Yaakov Litzman, at least in this last government, said today in an interview on Sunday afternoon that Naftali Bennett, from, again, who may be the next prime minister, or he's the head of the Yamina party, who is a religious Jew. He wears a kippah. He keeps the Sabbath. Anybody would say and define him that he's a religious Jew. But he's saying, Yaakov Litzman, that Bennett should take off his yarmulke, take off his kippah, because Litzman is claiming that Bennett is not a religious Jew. He explained, in his opinion, that any Jew that would agree to support policies that go against the Torah cannot be defined as a religious Jew, and therefore he should take off his kippah and not parade around as he's a religious Jew. That's what Yaakov Litzman's saying. He says, in the understandings of the Lapid-Bennett coalition agreement, they want to now, the left wing is pushing for Sabbath desecration, with public transportation now running all over on Shabbat, that pork and other non-kosher meat is sold throughout Israel now very easily. It's very hard to get that meat in. It's only sold in specialty shops, because usually the only people who want to eat pork are Russians that came in and immigrated to Israel, many of them not even Jewish. They want to now take away the marriages under the auspices of the religious, the rabbinical council. How do you say it here in Hebrew? I'm trying to remember. The Rabbanut in Hebrew, to have civil marriages now. Before, when it was under the Rabbanut, under the rabbis, a Jew could not marry a non-Jew here in Israel. If they wanted to get married, they would have to take a quick boat ride, which is just a few hours away, to Cyprus, let's say, and get married there. And then they would come back here, and then they would have their marriage license, and then they would register it with the Ministry of the Interior, and their marriage would be recognized. However, marriage is what we all know is holy matrimony, and that doesn't go with Judaism, with the Torah. We're not for mixed marriages. If someone wants to convert and they truly believe in Judaism, they can do that, then they can get married. But the left wing now is demanding civil marriages, has taken the rabbis out of everything there. And they're also demanding other things that go against the Torah. And for this man, Naftali Bennett, to agree to this, something, by the way, Shabbat desecration, it's one of the Ten Commandments that you're not allowed to do. It says to keep the Shabbat, keep the Sabbath. So he's saying that someone who would support going against not only the Torah, but the basic Ten Commandments, cannot be deemed a religious Jew, and he's demanding that Litzman... And Litzman is demanding that Bennett should remove his kippah. That's what he's saying. There was also last-minute dramas happening where Ra'am, which is the Arab party that is in this coalition, was threatening not to vote for the new government because they were making last-minute demands, saying that all of the fines that the Arabs in the Negev got from the government because they built illegally should now be retroactively canceled. And if they don't get that, they said that they were going to not vote, which means that the left would not have enough votes and they would not be able to form a government. Now that I understand, they say that they're going to vote for the government. They're not going to do it. But you see, what's important about this fact and this threat is that they will, in my opinion, use this constantly against Bennett and Lapid and the Knesset. That if you don't do this, if you don't keep our demands, listen to our demands and do our demands, then we're going to pull out. Because even if they get elected today, even if the vote goes through and they are elected, if at any time in a day, in a week, in a month, in 6 months, the Arabs should decide that they want out because their demands aren't being met, they will not have the 61 seats that they need in order to govern, and the government is going to fall, and we are going to go to new elections. Now, in my opinion, because the ideologies and the goals of these parties that are making up this Shinui or change government are so diametrically opposed to each other, one party hates the religious, and yet Naftali Bennett is a religious man. One is a anti-Zionist and wants to see a Palestinian state come into being, which goes against even some of the center-left people that are in the government. These are diametrically opposed ideologies. They can't stay together. It's like a house of cards. And the only glue that is keeping these parties together is, number one, their hatred for Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. He's still Prime Minister right now as of the show. And their quest and their hunger and greed for power. Those are the two things that are holding this coalition together. That's my opinion. It could be destroyed, or this house of cards could fall at any time. Anybody gets upset, they can leave the coalition. They won't have the 61 seats they need in order to rule. And that's what we're looking at. All right. There's so much more to talk about. The Hamas is threatening again to break its ceasefire or to make terror attacks or to set more fires in Israel if we have the flag march. And to top the Hamas, now the PLO, the Fatah, under Mahmoud Abbas is getting into it. And they're saying, this is according to Ynet News, that the PLO warns of an explosion if the Jerusalem flag parade goes ahead this week. So much can topple this non-government or government if it happens just a few days later. We'll see what happens. We'll be right back.
Shalom, everybody. Making a difference often takes just one moment and one person at a time. I am Orly Benny Davis, your show host on Israel News Talk Radios from Jerusalem with love. You'll be hearing people talking about politics, religion, social issues, and making a better tomorrow. Join me, Orly Benny Davis, for God and Country from Jerusalem with love.
Wednesdays on Israel News Talk Radio.
We are back here at the Tamar Yonah Show on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. And as we are speaking here on Sunday afternoon, the vote has not yet taken place. Right now, Naftali Bennett is trying to make a speech in the Knesset, and there is heckling, there is screaming, there is yelling going on. And here to tell us more about what's going on, we have joining us Barry Shaw. He is the International Public Diplomacy Director at the Israel Institute for Strategic Studies. Welcome to the show, Barry Shaw.
Thank you, Tamar. Thanks for having me.
All right, so why don't you go ahead, start wherever you like.
Okay, well, I was going to tell you and your listeners about the schedule for today, but quite frankly, what we're watching here is somebody who is a passionate supporter of democracy and the parliamentary system, a total international disgrace. This is a time, of course, where a party that's been in power for about 18 years is about to hand over the reins of power to another party after an election, after the fourth in 4 years, an election, and they're not going quietly. They're going with a lot of noise, a lot of disgrace. They're showing no respect, not for the incoming prime minister, not for the government that's got to be voting on, and not even for the parliamentary home, the Israeli Knesset, to which they had been members and to which they should have, as parliamentarians, given it the respect, the gravitas, and the kavod that it deserves.
The kavod is the honor. I want to jump in for a moment, Barry. I want to explain to our listeners that the right wing here in Israel feels like this the government was stolen away because he is from the right wing party. Yamina means right. And he went and he took those votes and he brought them over to the left. Very similar to what Americans felt, that the election was stolen. That's what a lot of Israelis are feeling. But go ahead, Barry.
Okay, well, getting back on track, the shouting and screaming is going on. Naftali Bennett should have finished his speech at 4:15. It's now 20 minutes later. At 4:15, Yair Lapid was due to speak as the head of the new government. I guess his speech will be interrupted again. So I don't know the schedule after that, by the way, at 4:30, I guess this is going to be after 5 p.m. Israel time. Now, Benjamin Netanyahu is due to response, giving him about 13, 15 minutes. I'm sure his will be more respectfully received than has been Naftali Bennett's up till now. And then after that, after Bibi's speech, there has to be a Knesset debate. And if anything that we've seen up to now is any example, this is going to be a lot of sound and fury signifying not very much. So I guess at that, what the procedure today is supposed to be a vote to select the new Knesset chairman, who is expected to be Zeb Elkin, that should be a matter of procedure. And then we come on to, it should have been about 7, 8 o'clock. It's likely to be 8, 9 o'clock now, the vote to bring in the new government. So I guess if your listeners are waiting to find out just exactly when the new government will actually be elected in and then sworn in, this will probably be delayed till, I would guess, about 8:39 p.m. tonight, Israel time.
Wow. And so much is going to be thrown off schedule because they had other things they were planning to do at that time. All right. And so where do you see everything headed now?
Well, I was watching what was going on this afternoon because there were still a number of doubts that was going on. There have been a couple of things. There was a problem with the Ram Party, but that got back on track.
That's the Arab Party.
That's the Arab Party, well, headed by Mansour Abbas, that is going to be part of the new unity government. I can give you a quick list of some of the notable ministries that, if this is of interest to you or your listeners, before going on to this. Obviously, Naftali Bennett will be the first prime minister, will be rotational with Yair Lapid. Yair Lapid will be the deputy prime minister and also the foreign minister. Whether you like his politics or not, one has to admire a politician, particularly here in Israel, who, in his personal conduct, has put what he considers to be the country's need before his own personal ambition to be prime minister. I've never seen that before, where somebody has prepared to easily give up to be the prime minister by reneging on the prime ministership for a political rival. And I guess in a real sense, it has to be admired. But there was another late program problem, by the way, in Avigdor Lieberman's Israel Beitenu party, when one of his own members of the Knesset, Eli Avigdor, rejected the position of being the second minister in the finance ministry. Avigdor Lieberman is the finance minister because he had wanted to a combined ministerialship of both the agricultural ministry and also the minister for the Galilee and the Negev development ministries. This is, I would have thought, a bit overly ambitious, but Lieberman had promised those two to Odette Forer. So Avigdor decided he didn't want to serve under his own leader, Lieberman, in the finance ministry. So Lieberman gave the deputy finance ministry to a Druze member of the Knesset, Hamad Amar. So this Avigdor will remain as an MK, but he said he's going to remove himself from Israel Beitenu and support the government as an independent member of the Knesset, which basically makes him the ninth factor in the new coalition. But this means that Lieberman has lost one of his members in his own party.
So I'm just wondering, I'm watching the Knesset right now, and I'm watching him speak and people interrupting him. And as you said before, Knesset members being escorted out by security, throwing them out of the plenum there. And I'm just wondering if they had like some type of pact beforehand saying every one of us is going to make a ruckus over there. And he's going to be speaking in the end to like half an empty Knesset, but go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sure. The other question that will be outstanding, and we will see in days ahead, and I'm sure sometime in the next few weeks you're going to have me back on to discuss it, is everybody in the Likud, I would guess, will gather around and support Bibi when he makes his speech. But what's going to happen? Are they going to allow him into the to lead them in opposition, or will the knives come out and say, enough of Bibi? We saw a sign of that with a large expensive event that was organized by Nir Barkat at the Ganet HaRocha, the exhibition area in Tel Aviv. Very expensive do, giving meals and everybody, with 4,000 people attending, where he was basically putting his hat in the ring as to be the next leader in the Likud. And he, at this event, made a speech and said that this is the time where we should have a snap primary election, which is something which I suspect that Benjamin Netanyahu is going to do probably as early as later this week, if not early next week. I am sure Benjamin Netanyahu will call for a snap primary election to make sure that he leads the Likud party in opposition going forward, rather than rotating. There have been a couple of members of the Likud and one or two other parties as well. One of the religious parties came out and said that the reason there is no united right-wing party is because Benjamin Netanyahu offered the prime ministership to people from other parties, Benny Gantz, Gideon Saar, Naftali Bennett, and others, but never prepared any rotational prime ministership with any other leader in the Likud. This has sort of angered a number of members of the Likud who now find themselves in opposition. So let's see how loyal they're going to be. I would have thought their position ought to be to Benjamin Netanyahu, Bibi, become deputy leader of the party. Let somebody else lead the party. You go deal with your core things, and we'll keep the seat warm for you when you come back. But I'm not sure this is going to happen.
No, I mean, one of the first things that the left wants to do if they get power is to make a law where Bibi will not be able to run again. That they'll say that there's going to be a limit term because he's been ruling for the last 12 years and straight, and they're going to they want to make this law so they don't have to ever hear from him again. That's how much they hate him.
I think that law really is one that says that any prime minister who is put on charges for fraud or breach of trust cannot continue as a prime minister. But I don't think it's anybody who is charged and is found innocent. I think it's perfectly legitimate for that person to come back and become a candidate to be prime minister again, because so, after all, he is innocent.
So, Barry, we only have 60 seconds left. What do you want to leave us with?
Okay, well, this new government has quite a number of obstacles, not in the next 4 years, but in the next week or two. We have a problem with, Bennett has said he's going to maintain Bibi's position on Iran, and he's expressed his strong opposition to a return to the Iran deal. Will this government be strong enough to stand up for it? There is going to be a first test where there is supposed to be an evacuation of a settlement called Abiatar later this week. Benny Gantz plans to pull it down this week. And this is going to be an immediate challenge to the government in which even Benny Gantz sits. It remains to be seen whether this government can last a week. And one of the obstacles may be one of the settlements in Judea and Samaria.
Well, Barry, I want to thank you very much for coming on the show. We are yet to see what the future brings. If anyone hears the show on a replay, they will know already. But as of now, still the Knesset has not made the vote yet. Thank you so much for being with us, Barry Shog.
We have difficult days ahead, Tamar. I think we'll be talking about it in the next week or two.
I am sure we will. Thank you for being with us. We're going to be right back, everybody. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
This is Shai Ben-Tekoa, and each week I'll be webcasting to you from Judea, origin of the word Jew, a people besieged and beleaguered in every generation. Nazi Germany is but a memory, but in its place the world invented the phantom Palestinians as this generation's internationally authorized Jew killers. Tune in for a different slant on life in Israel, Phantom Nation, every Monday.
Hi, I'm Rabbi David Aaron. The soul basics are the most profound, the most essential, and yet often the most neglected in our education. Join me for Soul Talk on Israel's News Talk Radio and discover the secrets to love, spiritual growth, and personal power.
We are back here at the Tamar Yonah Show on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com, and it is Sunday afternoon here in Israel. You are listening live, but if you're listening to this on a replay, you will already know most likely who the prime minister is in Israel, whether it is Naftali Bennett or whether we are going to have to go to fifth elections, most likely. And but right now, Naftali Bennett is still giving his speech in the Knesset because he is being heckled. He's being hollered at by Knesset members. They are security is removing Knesset members from the plenum. So this is going to take a lot longer than expected. Okay, our next guest now to comment on this and other things that are happening around the world, we have joining us Dr. Mordechai Ben-Menachem. He is a researcher and he's an author. He has come on my show pretty much weekly. He commentates on Mideast and world issues. Welcome to the show, Dr. Mordechai Ben-Menachem.
Thank you. I think I have to mildly disagree with your phrasing. I think we're going to fifth elections in any case. It's a question of in what manner it's going to happen.
Because basically you're saying that this house of cards is going to fall.
It's very unlikely to last very long.
Yeah, okay. Okay, go ahead. So where would you like to start?
Well, if we're going to look around the world a little bit, I mean, there's so many things happening all over the world with this G7 meeting and things happening in East Asia in the Indo-Pacific region and in the Middle East. I mean, everything is percolating so quickly, so strongly right now that following all of the news today is quite a task. Russia is being very aggressive. China is being super aggressive. The United States is being super slumberous. Basically, we have a situation in the United States where the person who's elected president is very unlikely to actually be president. It might be his wife. It might be the cackling fool that was made somehow vice president. And it might be somebody else that we don't even recognize. But the U.S. government, particularly in terms of foreign policy and defense policy, is simply not there. It's not. It's absent without leave. And all of its adversaries are taking advantage of it. Iran is being active. China is active, as I said. There are good things coming out of it as well. Japan has woken up. As a result of World War II, it was a nation which was officially a pacifist nation. It no longer is. It is rearming and quickly. Australia is rearming. Most of the Indo-Pacific is active in an arms race, as is India. Lots going on in the world. Where would you like to talk about?
Well, I'm giving this segment to you. Take us where you want to take us.
Okay. Let's talk just briefly about China. China is attempting to put together a coalition of so-called like-minded states, which basically means Iran, North Korea, Venezuela, Cuba. They're trying to somehow control Russia. That's a ridiculous notion. There's no way they're ever going to control Russia, and certainly not as long as Putin is there. But that's what they're attempting to do. And the remains of the so-called West, which has become a total misnomer now since it includes Australia and Japan, and South Korea, which is certainly not West. The remains of the so-called West, the so-called free democracies, are sitting right now in Cornwall in England, trying to decide what they can do. Except none of them have what to decide with. We're seeing enormous weakness from the United States. And we all saw what happened in Anchorage with the Chinese foreign minister just basically laughing out loud at the United States. And the United States had no answer. Neither the Secretary of State nor the National Security Advisor were incapable of any coherent answer. And the same thing is happening with Iran. The United States attempted to grovel to Iran to try to beg Iran to allow it to back into the so-called nuclear deal, and Iran has simply been playing games. Iran has simply been playing games and not being cooperative at all. The world is progressing. We're seeing a lot of action. We're seeing it very similar to what's happening here in Israel as well. Obama tried to defeat Netanyahu, and he failed. So we can say that Biden has one success. He managed to defeat Netanyahu somehow. But as I said at the beginning, that success will be extremely short-lived. Basically, this present government that's attempting to come into fruition now is a coalition of eight parties that have nothing in common other than their desire to be not Netanyahu. So 5 minutes after this government is formed, it can simply go home. It is no longer has a reason to exist. So there's very little chance that they will exist for very long. And that's more or less the picture of the state of the world right now. Mm-hmm. A mess.
Well, I just want to give an update. So what's happening here right now, Naftali Bennett just finished giving his speech, and Prime Minister Netanyahu has now gone up to the podium, and he's about to begin his speech. Go ahead. We have another 5 minutes.
Okay, I did not hear or see Bennett's speech. We have to understand people outside, people like in America and in Europe need to understand a little bit about who Bennett is. Bennett is a patriot. There's no doubt about that. He's a person who is so-called right-leaning, but he's very confused. He has no real idea of what he wants other than his own personal ambitions. He has no real clear plan of what it is he wants to do. The few things that he says he wants to do will all be vehemently opposed by his coalition partners. Bennett is basically regressing in age and becoming an adolescent, and is totally confused about what it is he wants to do, what it is he can do. Part of the mess that we're seeing around the world. People need to understand a little bit about China if I'm talking about the kind of mess in the world. Between the time of Deng Xiaoping, the one who took over after Mao Zedong died, and a few years ago, the leader of the Chinese Communist Party needed to be reelected every few years, but the present leader, Deng Xiaoping, declared himself to be a ruler for life a few years ago. And if we just look at the human rights abuses in China, attempts at genocide of the Uyghurs, genocide in Tibet, horrible actions in Hong Kong, attempts of genocide of the Mongols in Inner Mongolia, the southern part of Mongolia, basically threats of genocide against Taiwan, and that's pretty much the story of China today. They're thumbing their nose at the entire world, and believe that they're powerful enough and rich enough to be able to do whatever it is they want, and no one can hold them to account to anything.
Right, and in fact, they're saying that they're going to go to war and they're going to take Taiwan, and this is a very, very troubling thing. Go ahead.
I thank you for saying that, and I thank you for the way you phrased it. Remember, no one ever says, they want to integrate the Taiwanese. They want Taiwan, the land. I predict that if they actually do something, they will attempt to genocide everyone who lives on the island and simply take the island depopulated.
Wow. It's really troublesome. So in the last minute and a half that we have, what would you like to leave us with?
Well, Iran has sent a small flotilla to the Atlantic Ocean for the first time in many, many years, perhaps for the first time ever. I'm not quite certain of that. Iran's history of competence in terms of naval affairs is not sterling, to be mild. I would predict that there will be some sort of untoward happening to this flotilla. Most likely the the boats are filled with drugs and guns. And so if America is capable of waking up, somebody should be looking at that. The crime rate in the United States is extraordinarily troubling. Even in 2020, during the time of the so-called lockdown with Corona, the rise in violent crime and particularly murders in the United States is absolutely amazing. So if we're talking about the mess that the world is in, importing another million
immigrants,
violent criminals, mm-hmm. from the along the southern border is not going to help the United States either economically or socially.
Well, we're going to have to leave it there. And I know that all of our listeners, I would imagine that all of our listeners are praying both for Israel and the United States, both very good countries, both in a crossroads here. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Dr. Mordechai Ben-Menachem.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, everyone. And may we have a good, safe just government. We'll be right back. I'm sorry. Be well.
Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. Just click the orange button at the top of the IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com homepage, log in as yourself or an anonymous guest, and join in on the fun. You'll meet other listeners from all over the world who listen to Israel News Talk Radio, and you can make new friends. Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. It's the closest you can get to being in the studio with us.
We love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candle lighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.